But we're coming tonight to the concept of counsel. And as I've indicated this morning, it really strikes me that we are in the age of counseling. There are counseling centers all around us. And just as a sidelight, it's a big business. Okay, there's a real competition because there's huge amounts of money involved in this. And it's interesting today that there's almost, you know, we talk about blind faith. There's some real blind faith here of how much of this really does any good. But just to say this, in terms of it, I was talking with a friend who is a very committed Christian. He's the chairman of the deacons in a very solid church, a great pastor. And he is also a lawyer who specializes particularly in Social Security disability. And as I was talking with him, I was talking about the fact that I had been dealing with somebody who, through biblical counsel, had found that they could function all of a sudden. They had been declared unable to function by a psychologist, and so they had gone on Social Security disability. I said, now this person's gotten a job, now what do we do? And we were kind of talking about it. He said, you know, that's really sad. I said, what? I said, I'm glad for this person. He said, yeah, I understand that. He said, but here's the thing. If I've got a person with a physical disability, okay, bad back or something like that, it is harder to get Social Security disability than it is for a mental condition. Isn't that interesting? It's harder for a physical condition than it is for an emotional or mental one. But that's just what a big part this all plays in our world today. And then there, of course, self-help books are the number one sellers. Okay, and I saw, I read a thing just yesterday that in 2000, there were 50 books with how to be happy in the title published. In 2008, there were 4,000 published with that in the topic. Okay, people are desperate for counsel, for help to handle life. And churches are supplying counseling from a variety of sources, but it's a given now. And even the insurance company is calling up and saying, do you do counseling? Yes, we do. Okay, here's the rider you need on your policy. You know, a couple $1 million, because you're going to be held accountable for the counseling that you do. But ladies and gentlemen, that's part of the ministry. And while we're at it, there are the substitute pastors out there. They're called life coaches. You know that? They're on Channel 11 and other places. Here's how you can handle life. Okay, and let me just tell you, save your $100 an hour. Come see me. All right, we'll be glad to coach you through life. Now, is counseling wrong? And the answer is absolutely not. It's just that biblical counsel or biblical caution is called for any time that you open yourself up to someone and say, here's my life, how do I live it? Okay, that ought to tell you right off the bat that there ought to be some real concerns here. But I want you to think with me for a few minutes before we go to Proverbs about New Testament statements about the issue of counseling. Now, biblical counsel in the New Testament is translated most often admonish. We usually think of admonish in a negative sense. But admonish most of the time means simply to confront the thinking, confront the way a person's thinking. And then in some other places, what's translated admonishment is a Greek word that means to impart wisdom or sound thought patterns. Let me give you some of these illustrations of this from the New Testament. For example, Romans 15:14. Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another. Counseling ought to be the normal experience across the pews within a church. Okay, now please remember all the stuff we're going to talk about later ought to be manifested in that counsel you give to one another. But you are able to admonish, you're able to confront the thinking of one another, and you really need to. You know, you sit there sometimes, and I've seen Christians do this, somebody will come out with something totally outlandish. Well, so-and-so said I should do this. Then you sit there going, uh-huh. And then they walk away and you go, well, say something. Okay? You know, you don't have to be insulting. You don't have to say, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. But you know what? As a believer in Jesus Christ, you have to be saying, you know, does that really fit with the Bible? I mean, where is that coming from? Why are they saying this? Okay? Or Colossians 3:16. Once again, it's peer-to-peer. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know our song service is a counseling ministry? If you don't believe that, think about how often you've been driving down the street, dealing with something in your heart and your life, and all of a sudden you started singing something from Sunday. Okay, this is a counseling ministry to one another. That's why you ought to be really picky about the songs that we choose. You don't want to teach false doctrine. You don't want to teach false counsel in your songs. 1 Thessalonians 5:12. We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. If you're a leader in the church, you have a counseling ministry. You have a responsibility to say to people, now, wait a minute. What did God say about that? Okay, it doesn't matter if you're a pastor, if you're a deacon, if you're a teacher, whatever else. The minute, you know, it's good with the child protection policy, you got this identification of leader. If you're classified as a leader in child protection policy, you ought to be a person who is skilled in counseling people with the Word of God. 2 Thessalonians 3:14-15. If anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and keep not company with them, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Okay, you look at it and you say, I can't have a normal relationship with him. That doesn't mean I do the whole Amish thing of total shunning, but rather I look at him and say, that's my brother. I have a responsibility for counsel to them. Here's how to be restored in a relationship with Christ and his church. Titus 2:3-5, one last one, just to get a little different take on it. The older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish. And there was one of the places the word changes to, impart wise thinking. Impart skilled thinking. Instruct in wisdom is the way I put it in there. That the parentheses are my words. The younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste homemakers. Teach them how to keep their mind while they're doing these things. Okay? They need help with that because we husbands drive them crazy. Okay? They need sound thinking in that. And they need older women to tell them, yes, you will survive. Okay? There is a future here. And yes, I know that they're 12 or 16 or take your pick. But eventually they won't be anymore. And they'll still be breathing, okay? You need this to impart sound counsel. Unfortunately today, much of what the older women are sharing with the younger women is the latest thing they got from some unsaved guy who wrote a book about marriage and parenting, like Spock, you know? The only Spock that's worth listening to was on Star Trek, okay? And that's only for fun. Okay, and these kind of guys, hey, if you impart that stuff, you're not imparting wisdom, you're not imparting sound thinking, you're imparting Satan's wiles from a source where the young women ought to get the Word of God. Now, so you see, counsel is very important for believers in the church. And so tonight we're going to consider five encouragements for your development in sound counsel from Proverbs. And work our way through these things from Proverbs. And the first thing that I would point out to you is that sound counsel is crucial for you to be wise. You really need this. None of us was ever meant to be the Lone Ranger. And like Stu Weber likes to say, even the Lone Ranger wasn't. You ever thought about that? With the Lone Ranger was always what? Tonto. Okay? You always have somebody. I mean, even the secular mind drawing a cartoon understands you're not meant to be alone. And you need this in the process. And so one of the things that means is that growth is normal for one who is truly wise. You know, you never in the program of God get this point, well, I'm wise. I know. Now you can't tell me anything. You know, a person like that is just the biggest fool on earth. Growth is normal. When you are 20, you ought to be able to point to the things you've learned since you were 15. When you were 30, you should be able to point to things you learned since you were 20. When you're 50, you should be able to point to things you've learned since you were 30. When you're 90, you should be able to point to the things you've learned since you were 80. There's always a future there, and it's always supposed to be a process of growth, ever learning and coming to the knowledge of the truth, both at the same time. Growth is normal. Proverbs 1:5. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Okay, I really believe this. Forgive me for just my own personal observation, but the biggest problem that Baptist churches have had is because we do not set men apart as elders with full responsibility for the church, the same as a pastor. They get to a certain point of growth in their life and say, I've gone far enough, I don't really need to go any farther. I don't need to preach, I don't need to teach, I don't need to be able to do all this stuff. The pastor will take care of that. I can just go on and be just a, whatever. Go to work, take care of my family, do a few things around the church, the pastor asks me, and I don't really need to grow any farther. Hey, listen, take a look at the first deacons in Acts chapter 6 and see where they ended up. Philip, Stephen, okay? There is no lid on the growth process of walking with Jesus Christ. By the time that you are 80, you ought to be able to do everything that I'm able to do within the church. Now, you may not do it as well. The church may never even ask you to do it. But you ought to be continually growing in wisdom by grabbing all the counsel you can get. Growth is a normal part of the process because stagnation is the ultimate foolishness. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. I've got my own way of doing things. There's a way that seems right to a man, the end are ever the ways of death. So why are you so proud about having your own way of doing things? Well, I got my own take on that. Well, what does God say? Keep growing in that. Now, not only is growth normal, but also you need to understand that sound counsel only brings wisdom over time. Wisdom comes over time. All right? You grow in wisdom. I had a friend in my first church that quoted a line that I didn't know where it came from at the time, but it was actually from... my brain just went blank. The Christmas movie, Frank Capra. What's that? Wonderful Life, yeah. And he said to me one time, he says, you were born old. Well, I've told you before, my dad had a whole process that he's taken me through, not consciously, not planned out, but the things he put me through. When I came out of college at 20, 21 years old, I was farther along than most of my peers. I wasn't born old. I was trained in those things. And so it was really kind of shocking to these people. One guy said to me one time, man, you keep a control on this stuff the way that your predecessor never did. Well, I don't want to go into where my predecessor did. But that was no credit except for one thing that over years have been developed into that kind of person. And Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20 says this, listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. Learn that over time. Learn that over time, that in the end, it's the Lord's counsel that stands, and be willing to listen and receive counsel and instruction between now and then so that you might be counted wise when it's your turn. All too many people have not gotten mature, they've just gotten old. And so we have an expression for that, don't we? There's no fool like... Sad, isn't it? See, in the world, they see it. But in the Word of God, it's already right there. He just says, instead of putting that way, he says, don't be like that. Be someone who's continually growing and taking instruction. And then you prove that you're getting this wisdom by testing your plans before you put them into action. Okay, Proverbs 20, verse 18. Plans are established by counsel. By wise counsel, wage war. Now, most of us don't wage war. We're not kings. And, of course, remember, Solomon was a king writing to his son who's going to be involved in government and that kind of thing. But one of the biggest decisions of a government is to wage war, is it not? Okay, we've been through how many years now? Almost 10 years of war on two fronts, the cost of billions of dollars, thousands of lives. You better get as much counsel as possible before you launch something like that. Now, let me tell you something, friends. Just challenge you on this. How many years does it take you to pay for a car? Do you get sound counsel first, or do you go and let a salesman tell you what the best thing for you is? How many years does it take you to pay for a house? And while we're at it, how many times do you pay for a house in those 30 years? 2 to 3 times. Sound counsel. And believe me, as much as I love the realtors that I've known in my life, a real estate agent is not the source of sound counsel on buying a house most of the time. I've known some godly ones who were. But for the most part, when their income is dependent on you buying something, that kind of colors the judgment. You see, we don't get counsel in these things. And as a consequence, we kind of end up a number of years down the line saying, I can't believe I'm in this situation. Test your plans for putting them into action, because over time, the sound counsel you get will help you to develop more and more so that maybe you can actually give some sound counsel rather than this kind. Well, yeah, everybody has to make their own mistakes. I made that mistake. Well, that's real helpful, isn't it? Grow in it. Number three, under the crucial nature of sound counsel, be wise, is conceit turns you into a scorner. Here's how you can tell that you have not been growing. One of the indicators in wisdom and being willing to be counseled. Proverbs 18:1, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. See, a person who then says, I'm the authority, becomes self-oriented, and as they do, they rage against everything that disagrees with them, even when it's good. You know, this is a tip-off that you are becoming a self-absorbed fool. You think that because you can make fun of something or scorn it, you have disproved it. That should cause you to think that the vast number of political commentators on television are idiots. And I'm not just talking about the liberals. When you see these guys raging about this, that, and the other thing, how stupid this is, and how this, blah, 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 that's a scorner. Proverbs everywhere tells you, turn away from scorners. Don't go that direction. If you want to be wise, you've got to watch out for that mindset because you've turned in upon yourself. You know, by and large, government has its share of quacks, but they're not stupid people just because they sit on the other side of the aisle. And the thing that drives most of us crazy who are not in government is the fact these people aren't listening to each other, just shouting at each other. Amen? You're really tired of that. Guys, can't you sort this out? Can't you work through this and understand that even if you hold your nose, it's better to accomplish something, these kinds of things? Listen, the thing that we got to understand in this whole thing of counsel is that when you find that your counsel is based on scorn, making fun of somebody, especially building a straw man and tearing it down, then you have turned inside on yourself, you've become self-oriented, and you rage against all wise judgment. And I just want to challenge you on that one. That's so important. Watch out for the conceit that turns you into a scorner. And one of the, shall I go there or not? Sure. One of the biggest scorners of our age claims that he is talent on loan from God. And every Christian automatically stop and say, wait just a minute. You claim to represent God? You better show me. And Christians of all people ought to be highly skeptical of anyone who makes that kind of claim and yet does not present the things of God, no matter whether you agree with them politically or not. And Proverbs says, you watch out for that. And certainly don't become one of those people yourself. Sound counsel is crucial for you to be wise. Get sound counsel. Not the braying of scorners. Number two, sound counsel comes from sound sources. And this, of course, directly relates to that. You say, okay, I get counsel. I ask, you know, Joe, whoever, and I ask these guys at work, and I ask these people. Well, that's great, but, you know, there's an old expression, consider the source. Take a good hard look at where you're getting this stuff from. Because, first of all, character shows itself in the end. Character will show up in a person's life, and it will show up in their counsel, and when you follow their counsel, it will show up in your life. Okay? Proverbs 11:3 says, the integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them and anybody who listens to them. Okay? Christians kind of look at this whole world with a slight sense of amusement, saying, that's nice. Here's what God said. That's nice. Here's what God said. Because I know that I want to be the man or the woman God wants me to be, no matter what you may think of that or whatever you may present. Character shows itself in the end. And again, this is where we've had a whole problem in Congress, for example. You got the two extremes, liberals and conservatives. And it seems like the most extreme people keep showing up on the front pages of the paper with huge scandals. Because character always shows in the end. Watch out. Be aware of that. Think about what you're doing. Years ago, there was a college in Indiana, and I was told this by someone who would know this background stuff. He happened to be a dean of a graduate school. They told about a college that had an opening in the sociology department, and it was the chair of family studies. And it came down to it, there were two applicants that were kind of the final consideration. One was a fellow who had written a few things in a couple of journals, and he had done a good job, and he's reputed to be a very good teacher by his classroom students, which, of course, is a big issue to them. And, by the way, he had been married for 30 years. He had four children, all responsible members of society. They were grown. They were married. They were having children of their own. Very terrific family life by all accounts. But, you know, he had never written a book, never, you know, been wildly popular. There was another guy, however, who had written a book that's been on his bestseller list. And he had written all kinds of scholarly journals and everything else. He was continually producing written material. You know, in the college realm, it's publish or perish, okay? Now, he had been divorced 3 times. His children were drug addicts and a mess and convicts and everything else. Guess which one got the job? The second guy. Because you can teach about family without being able to head one, right? That's the world's mindset. That's not God's. That's not God's. Look at the qualifications for leadership in the church. Look at the home. See what's going on there. Character shows itself in the end. And character, then, is essential to true wisdom. You can't have wisdom without genuine character. Not God's kind of wisdom. Proverbs 12:5, the thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceitful, no matter how smart the wicked may be. You see, this whole issue of counsel is very radically different than, say, brain surgery. Okay, brains are brains, and the thing all works the same way. And so it really doesn't matter if the person doing it is a Christian or not a Christian. I want somebody with steady hands. A Christian with Parkinson's is not as preferable as an out-and-out pagan with steady hands. But when it comes to counsel, we're in a whole other area. Because they're telling you what to believe, how to behave, how to order your life, what's important, what your priorities ought to be. And the thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceitful, and they always seem right at the front end. They always seem really good. You know, there's a guy, Abraham Maslow. Anybody know that name? Maslow conjectured a hierarchy of needs. The highest need of the human being is self-actualization. You know what? And he goes through these things. You got these basic needs of food and sex. That's one of your basic needs, according to Maslow and so forth. You got these levels, and you got the different hierarchy needs of the self-actualization. You know what I hear when I hear that? Romans chapter 1, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like an incorruptible man. The top of his pyramid of human needs is for you to be really cool. God doesn't think much of that. And yet, in 1978, I went to a conference where the central presentation of the conference was this new fantastic teacher training material based on Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Whoa, folks. No. Maslow was a nice guy, but Maslow didn't believe anything about God. Maslow was wrong, and you don't follow that thinking process. How many are being deceived by unbiblical counsel from ungodly sources today? It's just incredible to think of. Here's one I just kind of pulled out when I went looking for quotes. Sigmund Freud said this, It would be undoubted advantage if we were to leave God out altogether and admit the purely human origins of all the precepts and regulations of civilization. Every sense of right and wrong came from us, not from God. Oh, and then you go to somebody who's been trained as a disciple of Freud, and they tell you, here's how you should live your life. I don't think so. It's disastrous. It's disastrous. Proverbs 12:26, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. Do you believe that or not? Hey, I'll tell you what. You really got to think this through carefully, scripturally. Proverbs 13:10, by pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Is anyone well-advised that shuts God out in his word? I don't think so. I don't think so. You need sound sources, and character is essential to being a sound source. Third, submission to God is a test of sound counsel. If the end of the counsel is, you got to look out for number one, you got to go after, you know, go for the gusto, you got to be cool. You know, that's my simplistic approach to it. I don't think this person has really found out how to help you to be the person that God wants you to be. What did Jesus say? My meat, the core of my diet, is to do the will of him who sent me. I do nothing of myself. Do you know that by that definition, most secular psychologists say Jesus was mentally unbalanced? You gotta please yourself. It's all about you. Hey, watch out, folks. Submission to God is a test of sound counsel. Proverbs 21:30, there is no wisdom or understanding or counsel against the Lord. I have seen this over the years. You know, and psychologists like to say, you know, you have to have this breadth of test subjects. Here's what I found. There are an awful lot of Christians that have followed the dictates of secular counseling and are miserable. That's what I found. Their marriages have failed. They had a terrible time with their children, with their own lives. They're fed up. They're frustrated with God. They're frustrated with themselves. They're frustrated with life itself. And you know what? They got unsound counsel, and it messed them up royally. And now they're 50, 60, 70 years old and wondering just what in the world happened, especially since they got that unsound counsel from somebody who's supposedly a Christian counselor. Hey, listen, friends. Truly sound counsel will develop skill with the Word of God. Do you understand that? It will develop skill with the Word of God. Proverbs 22:20-21. Have I not written to you excellent things of counsels and knowledge, that I may make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may answer words of truth to those who send you? Isn't that the product of what I've done in your life? You know, I love that. When somebody comes back and says, Pastor, you know, we talked about this, and I shared that with this person, and wow, it just, the lights came on. Yeah, I don't deserve any credit for that. That's God. That's his word. He does phenomenal things. That's what the counsel that the Christians ought to be sharing with them ought to do. Build skill with the Word of God. How many passages do you know in the Word of God that are absolutely essential for life skills? There are a number of them. One of them is Proverbs, Romans 12:1-2. Okay? You say, oh, I don't know if I can memorize Scripture. Hey, memorize, you know, these 10 passages. You at least make a difference in people's lives. You know that one, don't you? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing your mind. There's the base of every Christian counselor. Do not conform. Seek for the transformation that comes through the renewing of your mind, through the truth of God. Go after those things. Stop sucking off these other sources. Okay? And there's a whole bunch of them. I quote them to you all the time. Ephesians chapter 4 is chock full of them. Listen, develop skill in the Word of God. Because you know what secular psychology does? Listen to this quote from Carl Rogers, an extended quote. It says this, experience is, for me, the highest authority. The touchstone of validity is my own experience. No other person's ideas, and none of my own ideas, are as authoritative as my experience. It is to experience that I must return again and again to discover a closer approximation to truth as it is in the process of becoming in me. Stop there, Ryan. Don't go to the next one. Do you hear what he's saying? I'm the measure of everything. My experience. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry for turning the spotlights on, but a lot of Christians say, my experience tells me. Yeah, I know that, Pastor, but my experience tells me. You're fighting, you're pulling off the same source as this guy. Listen to what he says as the quote goes on. Neither the Bible, nor the prophets, neither Freud, nor research, neither the revelations of God, nor man can take precedence over my own direct experience. You know, if there's a lightning storm, I don't want to be standing next to a person who says things like that. Standing there going, God, I knew better than you. Yet there are a lot of Christian counselors who would classify themselves as Rogerian, as followers of Carl Rogers. Look, folks, your experience is not the test of all things. The Word of God is. Come back to that. Because sound counsel is crucial for you to be wise, and sound counsel comes from sound sources. Number three, sound counsel is rejected by fools. You say, do I have to listen to this stuff? No, you can reject it, but you'll be a fool. It's that simple. According to the Word of God, you'll be a fool. There's no other way to put it. And it's not because I look at you and say, oh, you're foolish. It's because the Word of God classifies you as that. Proverbs 1, 25 to 26. In Proverbs 1, it's talking, wisdom's talking about the way people reacted. And he said, because you disdained all my counsels, wisdom speaking, and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. There are a lot of people that turn around and say, Pastor, what happened? And they've been following the world's way. He's saying, look, didn't you get taught better than that? I had a young man one time, his girlfriend got pregnant. Just amazing. How could this happen? A deacon's son and a deacon's daughter. Well, it happens the same way for deacon's sons and deacon's daughters as it does for the janitor's son and the janitor's daughter. Okay, and we're dealing with this, and he's repentant, and you know, I've done wrong and stuff, and he married the girl. But anyway, in the process of dealing with all this, I'm talking with him as his youth pastor, and I said, you know, can I ask you something? Would you take this piece of paper and write down all the people who told you from this church or some other church that that was not the way to live your life? What do you mean? I said, write down the names of all the people. Well, I don't know if I can remember them all. That should tell you something, shouldn't it? Because every one of those people was a fence you jumped over to get where you are. Okay? You kept working at this to get there. Listen, you disdained the counsel you got. And now you're where you're at. Now the beautiful thing, ladies and gentlemen, let me hustle to say this. The beautiful thing about being a biblical counselor is you always have hope for how to get back where you need to be. Now you may have a baby in your arms when you do it, but there's a way back. There's always a way back. But he goes on in Proverbs 1, verse 30, he says, they would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke, and therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. You know what? I'd rather that grace was in my life without the disobedience than having to try to make up for the disobedience, because God says, I will not shield you from the consequences of your foolishness. There will be consequences. Okay? I won't keep those away from you. And so that's the challenge. A lot of times you're dealing with these things. Someone wants you to say, show me how the Word of God can get out of the consequences. I don't know how to do that. Because that doesn't happen. But I can tell you how to get back to where you need to be, living for the Lord. Proverbs 8, verse 12, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way, the perverse mouth, I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom, I am understanding and I have strength. By the way, keep counseling. Even when people don't want to hear it. It's still true. Now, don't be a nag. Don't be, you know, an overbearing, obnoxious lout. But don't hold it back just because you look at it. You're an idiot. I'm not going to tell you. Just keep sharing it. You never know when it's going to sink in. You know, again, Nona's brother just blows me away. You know, I get emails from him. 2 weeks ago. Hey, you know, I just thought I'd share with you this email I just sent out to my small group. He said, the other night we were discussing the issue of forgiveness. And I shared with him from that book he told me about. And he sent me an email, he sent it out, and he told him about this book that I encouraged him to read. And he shared this with his group, and it revolutionized everybody there. And I thought, this is the guy who 20 years ago, anything I said about Jesus Christ, he went, threw it right back in my face. I love it. I love it. You know, and he actually wrote me an email this week. He said, I remember this quote, but I can't remember where it's from. Did you send it to me? And I wrote back and said, no, it came from your dad, but I'm not going to tell. Okay. And he went back and found the email and he found it. You know, it's fun that way, but isn't that wild? Listen, over time, these things come. But listen, when somebody's rejecting sound counsel, it's not your fault. It's not the counsel's fault. It's not God's fault. It's their responsibility. They're being a fool. Okay? But thank God he loves fools anyway. And everybody write down that quote from Thomas Watson this morning. I may force God to punish me, but I will never have to force him to love me. Sound counsel is rejected by fools. Understand that that happens. Fourth, sound counsel requires multiple counselors. Now here's where it's important that you keep the other three in view before you get to this one, all right? Because there are a lot of people who say, well, I checked this out with 14 different people. 13 of them were ungodly wretches, but I got a multitude of counselors. You know, a lot of times I get that, Pastor, I looked here and I checked here and everything else, and you know, it really kills me to hear this stuff. Listen, it is good to have multiple counselors, but you got to consider the source. And if they're not sound counselors, it's not a point. You're not really getting the point. Proverbs 11:14, where there's no counsel, the people will fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. You get a bunch of, you know, and especially it's encouraging. You've got a number of godly people who counsel you from the Word of God, and where you find that their counsel coalesces, you kind of say, you know, I feel pretty safe doing this. This is good stuff. Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. And Proverbs 24:3-6, through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yes, a man of knowledge increases strength, for by wise counsel you will wage your own war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. Now I recently hit something in my personal life. I got contacted about something. I was trying to evaluate what to do, and I was really kind of, you know, and I did talk with Nona about it, just in case you're wondering about that. And then I sent an email to six people that I knew would give me wise responses. And I got back six responses, and I sent back and I asked a few more questions. Some of them kind of missed the point of what I was asking. And when I got all that back, I turned around and said to this person who counseled me, I don't want to be a part of that. It was very attractive. I don't want to be a part of that. I got some good, godly people who looked at it and said, not so sure about that. You know, it's a lot easier to make a sound decision and stick with it in that context. God wants you to have multiple godly people in your life that you check with and get their input and challenge their input and say, wait, what scripture are you using there? That's one of the ways you can ferret out whether these are people ought to be a part of your multiple counsel situation. Fifth, last one. I should encourage you that sound counsel is a source of joy. This is the good stuff. You know, there are different seasons in life and ministry. And forgive me if I get a little transparent here, but a few years ago, I was really crying out to God. I was really frustrated with life and ministry. And all of a sudden, God gave me this great blessing. I had this continuous thing over a number of months where all these people came in my office with huge problems. And I said, blessing? Yeah, what's the point of being in ministry if you're only dealing with people who have no problems? And not only that, they were responsive to counsel. They're looking for godly counsel. And you know, we went through this stuff, and I saw this life change, and I saw this life change, and this life change. And you know, God, I can stay at this a few more years. You know, preaching is almost recreational compared to counseling. Counseling is really where it comes in, because counseling is just applied discipleship. If I don't get to talk with people about issues and lives and see things happen, you know, people all say, "Pastor, I don't want to bother you." You know what bothers me? So I preach week after week, and you sit out there and then go out the door and do things Satan's way and just come back and fall asleep the next Sunday. That bothers me. But when you call up and say, "I really want to know how to handle this in a biblical way," that doesn't bother me one little bit. You know? Listen, sound counsel is a source of joy. Number one, you will find life more delightful. Proverbs 12:20. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. There's a joy in being able to give the things of God to people in an appropriate way. It's just delightful to have an answer. You don't have an answer for everything. You know, always remember, "I don't know" is a correct answer. It's not an adequate answer. You need to go find out. "But I don't know" is a correct answer. But when you get, look at the Word of God here. That, man, it just keeps you going. Ask Nona. You know, when people are responsive to that kind of counsel, I just come home. "Hey, yeah, you know, let's have dinner," you know. And when people are, you know, well, that's another thing. You'll find life much more delightful with sound counsel when you are the source of it. Not only that, your friends will be blessed. People around you are going to like you better when you give them sound counsel. Okay? Proverbs 27:9, "Ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel." By hearty counsel. It really means a lot to people to know that you won't give them some junk that you picked up from the latest radio or television or newspaper thing. By the way, do you know what newspaper and television and radio do? Whatever's new goes on the front page. When it gets refuted, it's on the back page. See, all the time you get these front page things. "New evidence found for evolution." And then about 6 months later, they come out and say, "Well, it really wasn't that big of a deal." Do you remember, anybody remember when National Geographic had a cover story about the fact they found a fossil of a dinosaur with feathers? Anybody remember that? That's a huge thing, because supposedly birds came, you know, whatever, out of dinosaurs. Anybody know what happened to that? It was in China. It was shown 6 months later to be a total fraud. No front page of National Geographic on that one. Okay, and these things happen all the time. I've told you before about reading the story. Front page, I think it was the News Dispatch. "Study done showing that spanking is ineffective." Interesting. So I kind of read through it. Of course, they don't give any references of where the study was. So I went online to find out. I found the study. I read the study. You know what they studied? 14 to 60-year-old girls that have children out of wedlock are very ineffective at disciplining their children. When they spank them, it doesn't do any good. You know what else they found out in the study? Nothing they do does any good, because they have no idea what they're doing. That wasn't on the front page of the paper. That wasn't even on the last page of the paper. Ladies and gentlemen, your friends will be blessed if you get into the Word of God and let that saturate everything you share with them, and even your unsaved friends will start coming to you for help. Amen? Anybody experience that? Make sure you tell them and give God the glory, by the way. Just a little sidelight here. A story I read this week was, I thought, very challenging. There was a man that worked in the same company for many years, and there was a man at work that he greatly respected. And he watched him. He kind of patterned his life after him. After a number of years, another friend had been witnessing to him about Jesus Christ, and so he led him to Christ, and he said, "You need to go to a church nearby where you live. Here's a really good church. Go there." It was Communion Sunday. And lo and behold, his model, his role model, was up there serving communion. He couldn't believe it. At the end of the service, he went up and says, "Hey, I got to tell you what happened in my life this week." And he said, told him how he'd come to Christ. This guy said, "That's great, fantastic, praise the Lord." He said, "Yeah," he says, "but I'm a little confused." He said, "Why?" He said, "Because for so many years, you were a barrier between me and Jesus Christ." This guy, "What?" He said, "I watched you, and you had life so together. And I watched you, and I never heard anything about God, Jesus Christ, the Bible. And I figured if you could be that good without Christ, I didn't need him either." Ooh, So much for testimony by words without, or works without words. It's got to be both, folks. Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver. Like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise rebuker to an obedient ear. Don't think that people won't appreciate it. If you get skilled at it, they will love it when you come along and say this. Years ago, I got a phone call when we had radio broadcasts. I told the story, I can tell it in a little more depth now. But I got a phone call saying, because it's something I've been talking about on the radio, and this woman said, I need to talk to you. You talked about this, I need help with that. And so she came in. Now, this was a 70-plus-year-old woman, but she had been raised in an unbelieving church. Her whole life had been there. And she came in because there was a man that wanted her to marry him, and she didn't know whether she should do it or not. And I gave her the same counsel that I would give to a 17-year-old. Standard stuff that I've used in youth ministry stuff for years. Same old thing, you know, old hat to me. And as I talked about the way of God and the will of God and godly men and godly women and these kind of things, she just kept getting, her eyes got bigger and bigger. And I said, so what do you think? And she said, there's no way on earth I should marry this guy. I said, well, yeah, I think you're probably right. If that's, you know, your evaluation, why? I said, yeah. Oh, thank you. You know, that has helped me more than anything I've ever experienced. I said, well, that's fine. She says, no, you don't understand. She says, that puts so many things into perspective for me. Oh, I just can't believe this. I've got this stuff all running around my head right now. That's just changed my whole worldview. Now, that's no credit to me. Like I said, this is stuff that anybody could have done if they were willing to treat a 70-year-old like a 17-year-old. And so she picks up her purse and she pulls out her checkbook. And she says, how much do I owe you? I said, you don't owe me anything. I got this from God freely and given it freely. No, how much do I owe you? I said, no. She says, you don't understand. Some of the things that I'm sorting out and finally seeing the light on, I have spent thousands of dollars with counselors to get answers that you just gave me in the last 30 minutes. I said, no money. No check. Are you sure? Yes, no problem. Okay, you know, so I prayed with her and she left. She walks out the door of the office out here, comes out in the hallway. She's gone for a couple minutes. I'm in there kind of moving on to the next thing. All of a sudden, she comes back in the door, runs over to my desk, throws a check on the desk, and runs out the door. Because she can't believe that anybody give her something that valuable for free. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, there are people out there literally dying for what you know in your sleep. Honestly. Unfortunately, she never came to Christ. She went back to the church, been failing her for all 70 years. But I know that for 1.5 hour there, God showed his grace, his mercy, and truth in her life. Just an aside here, and I'm probably going to bring that up more as we go into Matthew chapter 10, but at the end of Acts chapter 20, Paul's nearing the end of his ministry. He knows that sometime soon, all the people who are trying to kill him are going to succeed. And he calls all the elders from Ephesus to meet him at Miletus, and they have kind of a pastor's conference. And in Acts chapter 20 is his counsel to them. And there he says to them, I am free from the blood of all men. And I've had many people quote to me from Ezekiel. It talks about the watchman who doesn't give a warning and the blood will be on his hands. They say, if you don't witness to everybody you know and share the gospel with them, their blood is on your hands. Well, I like to go to Acts 20 because Paul said, I'm free from the blood of all men because I have not shunned to declare to you, does anybody know what he says? The whole counsel of God. It's not just four facts of the gospel. I have shared with you what God says about life and death and eternity and your life and your place in this world and everything else. I have been consistently sharing with you the counsel of God, and therefore, your blood's in your head, not in mine. It's not just a little presentation of a canned gospel message. Ladies and gentlemen, this is beautiful stuff. And I've had people reject the message, but when it's been shared graciously, I've never had anybody turn around and attack me. they know they've gotten something from God, and they will from you as well. It's interesting that some Christians really suck off the tube of secular psychology. I got a real problem with that. And one of the leaders in that, or two of the leaders of that, were a couple of guys that started a ministry called Minerth Meyer Christian Counseling. And I've always had a little trouble with what these guys are at, but I agree with them right here. Frank Minerth said this, "Living the Word of God is much more basic to helping people than psychology ever will be." I can't tell you how many times that I've shared freely things that I got freely from God. That people have come back and said, "I have been to this place and this place and this place." I had a fellow one time, we talked for an hour about a common problem. The next Sunday, his mother and his aunt were with him in church. So he said, you wouldn't believe what happened. He said, "This week, what happened from learning these truths from God, my mother and my aunt said, if that church can do that for you, we're coming." Isn't that wild? That's God, folks. That's God. That's not me. That's God. Sound counsel. Ladies and gentlemen, sound counsel is necessary for wisdom. Growth is normal. Please pursue it. The product of sound sources. Watch what you're feeding off of. It's rejected by fools. Okay, so don't sweat it. It's the product of a multitude of sound counselors. Cultivate them, and it is a source of joy both to you and to the people who are touched by your sound counsel. And God's good. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for your truth, and thank you for your sound counsel. Just passing on what you have revealed thousands of years before. And it's so delightful, Father, to share these things. See a person's eyes get big and say, "That's in the Bible?" Yeah. "That happened?" Yeah. "It's just like me." Yes, it is. And suddenly they find hope and joy and peace. And they find Christ. Father, teach us to be people who share the whole counsel of God. Fools will reject it. There's plenty of them out there. But Lord, in the end, you'll use it. May we seek you first and your righteousness and let all the other stuff get added in your time. And give you the praise in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.